Good morning to everyone. Greeting in Jesus' name. Welcome each one to this service. Thankful for the visitors that are here with us. May you be challenged and blessed in your Christian life as you worship with us this morning. I was encouraged going through the service this far. Many different references that were made to believing and faith and knowing and understanding. And this morning, I'd like to look at faith. Some of you here may realize by now that Hebrews 11 is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I think I've referred to it in quite a few messages, and I think I have possibly even at one point taken a couple verses and had portion of a message on that. This morning, I'd like to look at the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 and be inspired and blessed by the examples of faith. The title of the message is Examples of Faith. And we want to look at that this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. The writer to the Hebrews here gives us a vast list of individuals who were faithful and how it worked in their lives, what it meant for them to have faith and be faithful. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift. And by it, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall we say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the enemies of the alien, the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We look at this passage of Scripture. Does it challenge you? Does it thrill you? Does it encourage you? Does it inspire you to go on with God? I think it should. As we look at faith, faith, sometimes we talk about faith, we talk about it rather, glibly, but we use the terminology, we have faith, or we're faithful, or somebody is faithful. And I sometimes wonder if we really understand the involvement of faith. This chapter here spells it out very clearly in my mind that faith is something that is living and is real, needs to be living and needs to be real in our lives. Verse 1 says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it makes faith something that you can get a hold of. Faith isn't just some abstract thing here that we, you know, well, we, you know, we somehow believe in something, or we somehow accept something, take a leap in the dark, you know, and we don't know what's ahead. But faith, in a way, is a substance, it says here, or something that a true realization. It's not some thing where we have nothing to be based on. We talk about taking the step of faith when an individual accepts Christ, but you know, that's not a leap in the dark. Because the Spirit is faithful and has worked in that person's life maybe for years, or maybe just for a few moments, but the Spirit has worked in that individual's life and helped them to realize that they are sinners doomed for hell, and that Jesus Christ and his blood is the only way to be relieved of that condemnation. And they take that step of faith, accepting that blood of Jesus Christ, and they receive the peace. So in our lives today, faith is not just something that we just blindly just, okay, you know, here I am, and we just blindly go. Yes, Abraham says here when he was asked to go, he went. He didn't know where he was going. But it wasn't just a blind wandering in the wilderness. There was a leading there. There was a directing there. God was directing his life. God was leading him. Abraham was responding to that leading by faith. Today, you and I need to do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going down through this passage, maybe not verse by verse, but I'm going to take it in order here as it's given. And we're going to look at portions of this passage as we go. Verse 3 really stood out to me as I read over this passage and I studied it again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I think that is something that we need to reaffirm in our minds continuously, because we are bombarded on every hand by the thought of the earth and the things that we see coming into existence in some way or form other than by the Word of God. There's many, many thoughts and ideas afloat today, and it doesn't just have evolution anymore. There's other ideas, other thinkings, and we need to confirm and reaffirm in our minds that the Genesis account is a historical account. It's not some figure of speech. It's not some wild idea by somebody, you know, just another theory. But it is the Word of God spoke, and it was so. And we need to have that as a basis and a foundation in our minds and in our thinking and in our belief. We need to accept that by faith. That's how it is. We weren't there. We didn't see it happen. But we need to have that acceptance that things were made from nothing. It says that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything was made from nothing. God spoke the word, and there it was. And that God that was able to do that is the God that you and I serve and have faith in today. And if he was able to do that, if he was able to bring this all into existence by speaking the word, that's all he had to do, speak the word. What can he do in our experience today? What can he perform for us today? We think sometimes there's something that's impossible. But you know, all we need to do is have faith in God. Sit back and let him do the work. We botch things up pretty bad when we try and take it in our own hands. I know from experience. I've done it. I've been there. And I know the trouble I can get myself into. And I don't think you're that much different than me. Faith yields obedience. Verses 4 through 7, we see that Abel is one example of that that faith in God. We don't have a lot of history there as to how God spoke to Cain and Abel and how they knew that they were to offer sacrifices. You know, maybe I'm sure that God had spoken to Adam, and given him some direction. We know he had given him some direction as far as taking care of the garden. God had given him direction as far as right and wrong and not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we don't really know what all God had spoken to them about the sacrifice. But we know it must have been very plain and clear, because God held Cain responsible for not obeying. But Abel, it says, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered to God a blood sacrifice. And it was accepted. And it's interesting that the writer notes here that he being dead yet speaketh. That obedience, that sacrifice that Abel offered, that move that he made in obedience to God, is still an example that we can look to today and take courage and direction from. Abel's long gone. He was slain by his brother. But his example still speaks to us, as do many other of these examples here. It says Enoch was translated that he should not see death, because he walked with God and he had this testimony that he pleased God. If our name was in here, would that be the testimony that's written along with it, that we pleased God? Or would the testimony be that he pleased himself? Would the testimony be that he pleased others? Would the testimony be that he did things to please others so that they might look on him with favor and with respect and acceptance? Or would the statement be that he pleased God? You know, we need to have faith in order to please God. Next verse goes on, says, without faith it is impossible to please him. And why? Because we need to know. We need to know and accept and believe who God is. And that God is not only a figure of speech, but he is a being. He is what he says he is. And it would be, I don't know how many messages to try and explain who God is. But he is who he says he is. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned. Noah was obedient. He got this word from God. Noah, the world is evil. The world is full of sin. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. I want you to build an ark. And this is how I want you to build it. Because I'm going to send a flood, but I want you to build an ark to save yourself. Noah had no idea what a flood was. According to Scripture, I don't believe that Noah had any idea what rain was. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but if I understand the Scripture correctly, it says that a mist went up and watered the earth. But I don't know. But I'm sure that Noah had a lot of questions in his mind. How this is all going to be, and how it's all going to work out, and what all is involved, what all is going to be involved here. But you know, that didn't stop him. He had faith. He believed. He knew that when God said something, God was going to do it. So therefore, he didn't say, oh, well, you know, I just don't understand it, God, you know. And he sat back and he argued with God for a while. No, the Bible doesn't say that. We don't have a lot of the conversation. We don't have a lot of the history. The Bible is very short on those number of years that it took Noah to build the ark. In Genesis there, it's just a couple of verses. And from the time God said, Noah, you build the ark, until the time the animals were going into the ark. But Noah worked for many years to build that ark. And I'm sure in those many years that he was faithful to God and obedient to God, I'm sure there was many people that mocked. There was many people that thought, Noah, you're crazy. There's probably many people that told him that. But he kept on going. He didn't stop. He didn't stop until it was done. He didn't stop until he had fulfilled God's commandments. Faith brought obedience. And that's what it needs to do in our lives today. If faith does not yield obedience, if faith does not bring obedience in our lives, we have the right to question our faith. Am I willing to keep on going until it's done? And that means until the end of life. Am I willing to be faithful, to keep on going until the task is done? Noah wasn't saved with a half-finished boat. Neither will you and I be. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. Faith trusts and follows. You know, sometimes we don't understand God's plan, and I'm sure many times in Abraham's life that was the case. He didn't understand. But he obeyed. He followed. God said, "You go out. I don't want you with this sinful people. I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your kindred. I want you to leave. And I want you to step out in faith, and I want you to follow me." And Abraham did just that. You know, sometimes we're asked to step out in faith and follow God. And we don't understand, much less the people around us understand, why we do some things that we do. And I'm sure you know as well as I do that as people look in on a faithful Christian life, people of the world, unsaved people look in on a faithful Christian life and they shake their heads and they say, "Why? Why would you do something like that? Why would you give up all the ease and the pleasure and the enjoyment of life and bind yourself to something so restrictive? Bind yourself to something that, you know, why would you go through all those hardships? Why would you take that journey? Just stay here and just take your ease. Enjoy life." And brothers and sisters, if we actually view the Christian life, if we actually view the faithful life within that concept, it is going to be a burden. It is going to be a drudgery. It is going to be a hardship. But brothers and sisters, if we view the Christian life and the journey that we're called to take in the eyes of faith, and we recognize that we're serving a God that is living, a God that is almighty, a God that is powerful, it's not going to be a burden. We're not binding ourselves. We're freeing ourselves. We're giving God the rightful place in our lives. And we can go on this journey, even though there are hardships around us, even though there are things that we face that we wouldn't have to if we wouldn't go on the journey. Even though that may be the case, we have peace and we have the assurance that God is going to see us through. How is it in my life? Verse 11 is a verse that has always fascinated me as I look back on the aspect of of the promised son. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wasn't it Sarah that laughed when God said, you're going to have a son? She laughed. God called her to task for that. She said, no, I didn't laugh. God says, yes, you did. You laughed. I heard you. But you go ahead and laugh. I'll just prove to you that I'm able. And I believe Sarah grasped a hold of that by faith. And I believe it was somewhat the influence of the faith of her husband. But Sarah had faith. Sarah herself had faith. And God rewarded that faith. Yes, there was pitfalls, there was troubles on the way. Abraham and Sarah tried to take things into their own hands because they thought God wasn't able to work it all out. But God did work it out. God always gives strength. God always keeps his promise. God always has a way. When he says something's going to happen, we don't have to try and figure out the way to make it happen. Because when God says something's going to happen, he already knows how he's going to make it happen. All we need to do is just accept it by faith and say, God, I don't understand, but I know you can create the world out of nothing, and I'm sure you can do this too. Are we willing to resign ourselves to that power that's available because of faith? Strength in trials. Abraham received this son of promise. And then God says, Abraham, I want you to slay your son. I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice to me. And Abraham said, I'm going to do it, God. It amazes me. In verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham said, God, you promised that through this son, we'd become a great nation. And now you're asking me to slay my son as a sacrifice to you. God, I don't understand, but I'm going to do it. You can raise him from the dead. Even if I offer him as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice, you can raise him from the dead. You said this is the son. I believe you, God, and I'm going to go. And he did. Verse 20 to 22, we have a list of individuals there who by faith, looking ahead, looking out into the promised future, they blessed and pronounced a blessing on the next generation, and the promise was passed on. Those individuals had to pick up the faith on their own because of the example, but the promise was passed on. Joseph, he had faith that God was going to deliver his people. He's going to lead them back into the land that was promised to his forefathers. And he said, when you go, don't leave my bones here. Take them along and bury them in that land. Four hundred and some odd years later, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they carried the bones of Joseph with them and they buried them in Canaan land. Do you and I have a vision and grasp a hold of that promise by faith to the point where we are ready to encourage the next generation to keep on going? You know, we sometimes get into the routine of life, and things keep on going as they are. And we work, and we lay up store. Needs to be done. This needs to be done. That needs to be done. The next thing needs to be done. In order to have things keep on progressing. And that's right. There's jobs that need to be done today so that tomorrow can go smoothly. There's jobs that need to be done today. There's work that needs to be done today. And by that we earn money to pay for things tomorrow or the next day. And that's the world we live in. But do we translate that into the Christian life and realize that there's going to be a tomorrow, there's going to be a future? And we need to be willing to look ahead into that and realize that our children, if the Lord tarry, are going to have to live a life of faith. Do we realize that sometime along the line, Jesus Christ is going to return? Do we live today in faith of that? Do our children see that that is our main goal? Do our children understand that our faith revolves around obedience and following God with an eye on the future? We don't have to tell our children that when Jesus Christ comes, they're supposed to take our bones and take them along. We don't have to tell them that. Because when Jesus Christ comes, we're going to rise and we're going to be with him. But brothers and sisters, we need to be passing that promise and that blessing on to our children. And encouraging them to pick up the faith and keep on going. These individuals had an eye of faith for the future. Brothers and sisters, if we don't have that eye of faith for the future, this congregation will be gone in two generations. It's up to us today to have an eye, have a vision of faith. Moses, a very outstanding example of faith. He knew what his background was. He knew where he came from. He knew he was a Hebrew. And he saw what the Hebrew children were going through. He saw what was happening to them in Egypt. He saw they were being oppressed. He saw they were being used as slaves. He saw that they were being ill-treated and having a burden put on them. He realized that he was only living because of the faith of his parents and having been disobedient to the king's command and having not slain their son. He knew all that. He also knew the promise that God had given to the Hebrew nation, to the children of Israel. And to him, being a part and being a recipient of that promise meant more than receiving all the treasures of Egypt. What are you and I ready to give up today to receive the promise that God has given us and to accept it by faith? Moses was willing to identify with a slave. From the house of Pharaoh to slavery, in order to receive the promise. Am I ready to lay aside self and prestige and honor and riches and fame to identify with the slaves of this world in order to receive the promise? He forsook Egypt, and God used him. God used him to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. And it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. They didn't fear. They came to the Red Sea, and they said, Moses, what are we going to do now? And God, and Moses says, stand back and see the hand of God. I'm not sure if Moses knew exactly what was going to happen at that point yet, but he believed in God. He said, God, I know you didn't bring us this far just to have us die. And God made a way. He opened up the waters, and they went through on dry land. And then the Egyptians tried to do that, and they were drowned when the waters came back again. You'd say, oh, if I'd see something like that, my faith would be so strong, I'd just be a giant in faith. But how long did it go till the children of Israel, who actually saw that and experienced it and went through the sea on dry land, how long did it take for them to begin to lose their commitment and to become discouraged and their faith begin to waver? Didn't take them very long. They weren't any different than you and I. But it skips all that, and it goes on to Jericho. By faith, they marched around that wall. They said, you know, God, we can't overtake this city. The walls are high. The walls are thick. We're not going to be able to penetrate it. But God says, you walk around, you march around the city. One time each day, you march around the city. On the seventh day, you march around it seven times, and those walls are going to fall down. And they did. Those walls collapsed. Faith. They could have gone out the first day and marched around. Yeah, this is you know, great. Marched around the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the fifth day, and the sixth day. Tireder. Seventh day. Once around, twice around, three times around, nothing's happening, the walls aren't even cracking. I don't know, maybe they were. Seven times. Keep on going, brothers and sisters. And God says the walls are going to fall, they're going to fall, but we got to keep on going. We can't stop short. The walls didn't fall when they were around five times. The walls didn't fall when they were around six times. I don't believe the walls fell when they were around six and a half times. It was seven times. And the walls came down. Brothers and sisters, we need to keep on going. Faith. Faith in God. God said this is what's going to happen, and I'm going to keep on going. Even in that destruction, even in those walls falling down and that city being destroyed, there was an individual that was saved in the midst of that destruction because of her faith. And not only her, but her household. Rahab the harlot was saved when the city collapsed all around her. When the people of the city were slain all around her, she was saved because of her faith. We can have destruction going on all around us. casualties, people dying, things falling apart. Brothers and sisters, faith in God brings safety even in those times when things look terrible. He goes on to talk about all those different individuals that he could mention, all those things that he could talk about, those people and what they did because of their faith in God, and how faith produced actions in their lives, and how faith, their faith was a blessing to other individuals, and how their faith kept them strong even during temptation and persecution. And I have to stop and think and ask myself the question, is my faith that strong that in the good times or in the bad, I hang on to it because I believe in God and I have faith in God? Oh yes, God, when you're blessing me, oh, everything's fine and dandy and I'm happy and I'm praising you. But then when things start going downhill, and it's like, God, where are you? Come on, God, hurry up. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know. Every now and then, there's individuals who have been spared from torture and death. We have those accounts. But you know, there's many accounts of people that were not spared. They died. The three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace were in that heat that slew the people that threw them in. They were in there and they walked out and there wasn't a hurt found on their body. But there's many of our forefathers that were burned at the stake, gave their life. And I don't know if they thought about those three Hebrew children as they were at that stake and that fire was lit. I don't know if they thought about those three Hebrew children and thought, maybe God's going to spare me. But they were willing to go. They didn't stop short. They didn't say to the guards when they came into the prison to haul them out to the stake, they didn't say, I'm going to give up. I'm sorry, I can't do this. No, their faith was strong. They were taken to the stake. They were bound to the stake. And they gave their life. Brothers and sisters, in the good times, it can be fairly easy to serve God and be happy and be joyful in praising the Lord. But what about those times when we're being tied to the stake and the fires are being lit? Are we ready to stand? Are we ready to say, God, it's in your hands? Are we ready to say, God, I don't understand, but you do? Are we ready to say, God, because of what Jesus did for me, because of what he suffered for me, I'm willing to suffer for him. And I'm not going to deny my faith. The writer says, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided something better, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Brothers and sisters, they were looking forward. All these that were given were Old Testament accounts, and they were looking forward. They had that promise that God was going to be their God, and he was going to give them a Redeemer, a Messiah. We look back on that promise that God had given, and we look back on the cross of Jesus Christ, and we look back on that sacrifice that was made for us. And then we look forward to the promise that God says Jesus is going to come again. And if you're faithful, he's going to take you to glory, to live with him and with me forevermore. How strong is your faith this morning? I was impressed when Brother Brandon read those verses out of Hebrews chapter 10. Those verses had come to my mind, and I didn't take time to look them up. Hebrews 10, and I'm going to go back one more verse. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let's kneel together for prayer.